by the process of Astanga Yoga. Dhyayan Asparam, object of meditation. Bahu, the great yogis. Matam, approved. Nayana, eyes. Abhiramam, pleasing. Om Shnan, human. Bapu, form. Dashayanam, not by others. Siddhai, perfected. Utpatikai, eternally present. Samagranam, praise. Jutam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is endowed. Ashtabhogai, with eight kinds of achievements. Purport. By his divine grace, by Charanandana Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process, and it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full of eight kinds of achievements, but for others these achievements are not possible in full perfection. Please repeat. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yoga process, and it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full in eight kinds of achievements, but for others these achievements are not possible in full perfection. Purport. It's a very long purport. I was asked to do half, and the other half will be done tomorrow. Purport. The success of the yoga process is nicely described here. It is specifically mentioned that in the form of the Lord as the four-handed Narayana is the object of meditation for the followers of the yoga mark. In the modern age, there are so many so-called yogis who do not target their meditation on the four-handed Narayana form. Some of them try to meditate on something impersonal or void, but this is not approved by the great yogis who follow the standard method. The real yoga mark process is to control the senses, sit in a solitary and sanctified place, and meditate on the four-handed form of Narayana, decorated as described in this chapter as he appeared before the four sages. This Narayana form is Krishna's expansion, and therefore the Krishna consciousness movement, which is now spreading, is the real topmost process of yoga practice. Krishna consciousness is the highest performance by trained devotional yogis. Despite all the allurement of yoga practice, the eight kinds of yogic perfections are hardly achievable by a common man. But here it is described that the Lord, who appeared before the four sages, is himself full of all those eight perfections. The highest yoga mark process is to concentrate the mind 24 hours a day on Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. The yoga system, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, or as recommended in the Patanjali yoga process, is different from the nowadays practiced Hatha yoga as it is generally understood in the Western countries. Real yoga practice is to control the senses and, after such control is established, to concentrate the mind on the Narayana form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all the other Vishnu forms, with four hands, decorated with conch, lotus, club, and wheel, are plenary expansions of Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is recommended that one meditate upon the form of the Lord. To practice concentration of the mind, one has to sit with the head and the back in a straight line. One must practice in a secluded place, sanctified by a sacred atmosphere. The yogi should observe the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, to strictly live a life of self-restraint and celibacy. One cannot practice yoga in a congested city, living a life of extravagancy, including unrestricted sex indulgence and adultery of the tongue. Yoga practice necessitates controlling the senses, and the beginning of sense control is to control the tongue. One who can control the tongue can also have control over the other senses. One cannot allow the tongue to take all kinds of forbidden foods and drink, and at the same time advance in the practice of yoga. It is very regrettable fact that many unauthorized so-called yogis come to the Western countries and exploit people's inclination towards yoga practice. Such unauthorized yogis even dare to say publicly that one can indulge in the habit of drinking and at the same time practice meditation. 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna recommended yoga practice to Arjuna, but Arjuna frankly expressed his inability to follow the stringent rules and regulations of the yoga system. One should be very practical in every field of activities and should not waste his valuable time in practicing useless gymnastic feats in the name of yoga. Real yoga is to search out the four-handed super soul within one's heart and see him perpetually in meditation. Such continued meditation is called samadhi, and the object of this meditation is the four-handed Narayana with bodily decorations as described in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. If, however, one wants to meditate on something void or impersonal, it will take a very long time before he achieves success in yogic practice. We cannot concentrate our mind on something void or impersonal. Real yoga is to fix the mind on the form of the Lord, the four-handed Narayana who is sitting in everyone's heart. By meditation, one can understand that God is seated within one's heart. Even if one does not know it, God is seated within the heart of everyone. Not only is he seated in the heart of the human being, but also within the hearts of the cats and dogs. The Bhagavad Gita certifies this fact by the declaration of the Lord. Ishvara sarvabhutanam kiri deshi. The Ishvara, the supreme controller of the world, is seated in the heart of everyone. Not only is he in everyone's heart, but he is also present within the atom. No place is vacant or devoid of the presence of the Lord. That is the statement of the Ishopanishad. God is present everywhere, and his right of proprietorship applies to everything. The feature of the Lord by which he is present everywhere is called Paramatma. Atma means the individual soul, and Paramatma means the individual super soul. Both Atma and Paramatma are individual persons. The difference between Atma and Paramatma is that the Atma or the soul is present only in a particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present everywhere. In this connection, the example of the sun is very nice. An individual person may be situated in one place, but the sun, even though a similar individual entity, is present on the head of every individual person. In Bhagavad Gita, this is explained. Therefore, even though the qualities of all entities, including the Lord, are equal, the super soul is different from the individual soul by the quantitative power of expansion. The Lord or the super soul can expand himself into millions of different forms, whereas the individual soul cannot do so. The super soul being seated in everyone's heart can witness everyone's activities, past, present and future. In the Upanishads, the super soul is described as being seated within the individual soul as the friend and witness. As a friend, the Lord is always anxious to get his friend, the individual soul, and bring him back home, back to Godhead. As a witness, he is the bestower of all benedictions, and he endows each individual with the result of his actions. The super soul gives the individual soul all facilities to achieve whatever he desires to enjoy in this material world. Suffering is a reaction to the living entity's propensity to try to lord it over the material world. But the Lord instructs his friend, the individual soul, who is also his son, to give up all other engagements and simply surrender unto him for perpetual bliss and eternal life full of knowledge. This is the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita, the most authorized and widely read book on all varieties of yoga. And thus the last word of Bhagavad Gita is the last word in the perfection of yoga. End of half the purport. Om Agyan Smiram Dasha Janan Jaran Shalakaya Takshurun Vinitan Dina Tasmay Shri Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garatha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Text 44. The Lord's beautiful face appeared to them like the inside of a blue lotus, and the Lord's smile appeared like a blossoming jasmine flower. After seeing the face of the Lord, the sages were fully satisfied, and when they wanted to see him further, they looked upon the nails of his lotus feet, which resembled rubies, and thus they viewed the Lord's transcendental body again and again, and so they finally achieved meditation on the Lord's personal feature. This is the form of the Lord which is meditated upon by the followers of the yogic process, and it is pleasing to the yogis in meditation. It is not imaginary but factual, as proved by great yogis. The Lord is full of eight kinds of achievement, but for others, these achievements are not possible in full perfection. So here, Srila Prabhupada is speaking very clearly in this purport about the individual soul, the individuality of the individual soul and the individuality of the super soul, and the difference between the two. And he is again and again condemning the Western so-called yoga teachers who are, as he says, teaching gymnastics or saying you can practice yoga and still keep your any habit you want to keep. So Prabhupada is saying it, not only they're making a mockery of yoga, but they are disillusioning people who have an inclination to take the yoga. Sometimes the person gets a philosophical change in life and he starts to search, and he's very sincerely searching for the truth. But if 99% of all the different teachings and yogas are all these simply gymnastics or not really coming to the real point of yoga, which is to meditate on the super soul in the heart, then they mislead everyone. So Prabhupada, especially, he didn't like teachers who misled. So here he's talking about the yoga teachers. So people are searching, they go to a yoga teacher, but as a result they get misled, they become disappointed, frustrated, and then they kind of give up. I looked, I couldn't find. So Srila Prabhupada never cheated us. The reason the others are cheating is because they do not know themselves. They do not know fully the real goal. But here Prabhupada says, no, it's to meditate upon the form of the Lord in the heart. Then no other purpose. So Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here that Krishna consciousness is the topmost form of the yogic process, because he's, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the topmost yogi is one who is thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. Krishna says, in my opinion, I consider him to be the topmost yogi. So this is Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said. And we know from the very first day, we should always be remembering Krishna. That's the whole point of Krishna consciousness. The whole purpose of all our devotional service is that we're constantly remembering Krishna. And this is what Prabhupada gave from the very beginning. He didn't give any other kind of yogic process or any kind of deviation for siddhi or any other kind of perfection, even though they're available through this process. And here the verse mentions the Lord is full of these eight perfections. But Prabhupada also, he didn't encourage people even to go for these perfections, different yogic perfections. So he's very strict about this. And Prabhupada said, if I showed magic, because these facilities are magic, if I showed magic, he said, people will come to me just to learn magic. So therefore, I never showed magic. Did I? Did I ever show magic? No, I never showed magic. He said, my magic is, I can save you from the cycle of birth and death. The other magicians, they cannot do that. This is my magic. You can, I'll take you back to Godhead. No more birth and death. So this is one of Prabhupada's heavy criticisms. Prabhupada was so different from anyone else. No one would criticize, especially a yogi. He would never criticize anything. It was always, everything is peaceful and shanti. You had to be very peaceful. They would never, Prabhupada, as soon as he saw some fault, he would criticize. So he criticized all the way down the line. He always spoke out immediately against it. I remember one time there was a devotee, and he was doing some kind of yoga practice, and he would move his stomach in all kinds of different directions, and somehow or another you can move the airs around. You get a little bit of ecstasy from it, getting all the supple airs in different directions, whatever you do. And he was doing this one day in class, and I was sitting next to him, and I was wondering what was happening, and his stomach was going in and out and moving all around. And Prabhupada was lecturing. And Prabhupada also spotted him. And he said, but we do not practice this yoga system. He said, this is simply a waste of time. This gym, that. And he went on and on, and he changed the whole class. It's because one disciple was there, was practicing this. He was very speaking very strongly about it. It influenced the whole class of the Srimad Bhagavatam about this point. And boy, the devotee was so foolish. Again, he did it the next day, and I happened to be sitting next to him. Again, and I turned around, that's right, and I slapped him right around the face. And I felt great ecstasy, actually, a big ecstasy comes through my body, and I thought, wow. That's our ecstasy, right? Following Prabhupada's instructions. He didn't do it after that. But anyway, to show the point, Prabhupada, he changed the whole lecture on. Speaking out. There was another devotee, just on Prabhupada speaking out. He painted a beautiful picture of Radha and Krishna, It was very, very intimate, and Radharani was holding a veil and pretending not to look at Krishna. And, you know, of course, these pictures are very common nowadays. But during that time, they weren't so common. And this devotee painted this beautiful, intimate picture of Radharani, and he showed it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "What is this?" He said, "This is simply boy-girl." He said, "What is this? We don't want this kind of picture. We want pictures of Vishwarup." He said, "This will help us. Let's have the pictures of Vishwarup." And the next day again, in the Bhagavatam class, he gave a whole lecture. It's all about that. Don't make Radha and Krishna into an ordinary boy and girl. Don't make it like that. Vishwarup, this is what we want. So this is our process of sadhana bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Rupa Goswami when he was describing this verse, Atmaram Samunayo, and the word bhakti appears in there. So he says the word bhakti has two meanings. One is sadhana bhakti and one is prem bhakti. And there are in prem bhakti there are so many different variations of, you know, ecstatic love of God. Rati, sneha, mana, all these different levels of, so there's 10 divisions there that the devotees can experience in, that those who are advancing in prem bhakti. But in the process of sadhana bhakti, it has only one meaning. Because Mahaprabhu was explaining the different meanings of the Atmarama verse. So he said, in prem bhakti, there's 10 divisions you can explain for those intimate, affectionate feelings that the devotees have for the Lord. He said, but the other sadhana bhakti, there's only one meaning. And that means to strictly follow the rules and regulations. That's the only meaning to it. Sadhana bhakti. Follow the rules and regulations according to the rules and regulations and the orders of the Acharya. So this is the path that the Acharyas have given for those who don't have prema bhakti. Then you follow the path of sadhana bhakti. And we're obliged to follow those rules and regulations and follow the meaning of it. It only has one meaning. Follow the rules and regulations. If you have prem bhakti, there's something different. But on the platform of Vedic sadhana bhakti, don't try to imitate the prem bhaktis. This is the idea. So it makes it very clear. Vedic sadhana bhakti, it means one thing only. Follow the rules and regulations. The other prem bhakti, so many varieties of relationship and feelings with Krishna. But don't imitate that. So that's the standard. It should be the standard. Well, it was the standard. Of course, we can buy any book on the market we want, probably all the Rasika books, and any picture we want we can get now. But it wasn't available actually in the early days, and Prabhupada did speak against it. So it's a warning for our own devotional interest. I remember one of my godbrothers. Of course, he was living in Vrindavan also, but he asked one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. He started to mention about spontaneous devotional service. Premi bhakti, an aspect of premi bhakti. Simple question. And actually, the day before, he was talking to the disciple of this guru, and he asked him, so he gave some little explanation. So then he thought, you know, I'll ask his guru, his guru's here, I'll ask his guru He'll give a more in-depth understanding of this frame bhakti. So then he asked Prabhupada's godbrother the meaning of frame bhakti, and he looked at him and he said, "You have the audacity to even mention and speak about prema bhakti? Are you ready to understand this prema bhakti? Are you qualified actually to speak about this even? You've got the audacity to speak. You are still practicing sadhana, or have you risen to the prem? Then why you are asking this question?" He said, "Don't even ask it. That's simply audacious to ask it." So that was the, you know, that is the move that, you know, even Prabhupada showed us. Don't try to jump up. He warned us again and again and again. It's very common now. But one has to be very careful to safeguard his devotional service. Anyway, here the the storyline is the four Kumaras have just experienced the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they become attracted. Everything about him, especially the scent. And before they were attracted to his impersonal feature of Narayana, so see, the four Kumaras, they are always given an example of the Muktas, those who have attained liberation. So they understand Krishna as Brahman. Vedanti tat tatyatas tatyamam abhyam. Brahman iti paramatmadi bhagavan iti sabjati. Those who are learned as transcendent understand the Supreme Lord as three: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So they're understanding Brahman, that's Krishna. The yogis understand Paramatma, that's Krishna. And the bhaktas, they understand Bhagavan, is also Krishna. So three aspects of Bhagavan. And the four Kumaras had realized his Brahman aspect. So they understood Krishna. And in his Brahman aspect. Brahman aspect means his all-pervading feature, but they're actually feeling the presence of the Lord. Because they're self-realized, they're feeling the presence to themselves. They are themselves. So they're actually experiencing their eternal nature, which is above the three modes of material nature. And this is the platform that Krishna is on, so they can, that consciousness is Krishna consciousness, which is the spiritual environment, it's the same nature as Krishna. So at least they're contacted to that eternal nature. That's sambandha. We have different levels of sambandha or relationship. Even in the neophyte stage we have a... But real sambandha means when you actually come to the Brahma platform, Brahma Bhuta Prajnata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission begins at this point. Cheto Dharapana Majanam. When the heart is clean, so his mission begins at that point. Then you have access to chanting. So, yes, first clean the mirror of the mind, Cheto Dharapana Majanam, Baba Mahadva. Then you will start to understand what is spirit. So that's sambandha, relationship. When the heart is clean, what is left? When all the dirt is out of the heart, what is left? Well, you are there. The Lord is there. Your presence is there. His presence is there. That is what is being felt. Now nothing is being felt because there is so much dirt in the heart. So in all yogic process, you see the process is cleansing the heart to come to this platform of understanding oneself. And in devotional life it's Krishna also. But so these are self-satisfied sages. Krishna says when you attain this platform, there's nothing else to be desired. You think I've got everything. There's nothing else to be achieved. And so in this platform of self-realization, Just like the jnanis will come to this, this is the goal of the jnani. When they achieve this self-realization, they say, that's it. That's our study is finished, our yoga practice is finished, our austerities are finished, our tapasyas and our chanting, everything's finished. Because we've achieved the purpose of all those. Of course, Krishna Das Kaviraj says to the devotees, they begin at that point. Oh, now our chanting is really beginning. Now our hearing is, because it's coming from the self, it's real, and it's full of feeling and love. Now everything really begins, the service really begins from this point. But anyway, for those who want to understand Krishna's Brahman, everything finishes at that point because they've achieved the purpose of all that austerity, meditation, etc. And so therefore, they're not the person, who's achieved that, coming from a jnani position, like the Kumaras, and they've achieved that liberation, then they're not much interested in logical arguments or anything like that, even based on the conclusions of the real script. They're not concerned with these conclusions. Although they're great, that's their business, they're propagating knowledge throughout the universe, that's their business, and they're vastly learned. But they themselves, and others who are in that position, they're not really interested in logical arguments based on the on scriptures, on establishing Siddhanta. They're not really interested. It can go on or it can't go on. It doesn't matter, because the idea is they're already in touch with the Lord. They're feeling the Lord in their heart. They've achieved all. So what is all this study of the Vedas and coming to proper conclusions? And for them, it's just studying and talking and trying to come to conclusions. But already they're feeling their oneness with the Lord, their closeness to the Lord. They have love for the Lord. It's actually praying. Praying, because you're actually in contact with the Lord. And so they have love for Krishna in the impersonal feature. So all of the discussions of the Vedas and coming to proper Siddhanta and everything, they can go on and counter on, but it really doesn't affect them. They can even be talking about proper Siddhanta and all the conclusions of the scriptures. But even it's superficial, because they've got that, what the scriptures are trying to talk about. They have a relationship, they're in connection with, they feel the closeness, they feel the love of the Lord already within their hearts. So this is the transcendental quality of the Lord. That it's His quality that is the essence of all transcendental sweetness. You've actually contacted the Lord. This is His transcendental quality that every soul is searching for, because we're part and parcel of Him. Here they realize their identity as part and parcel of Krishna. So they're realizing that sweetness of Krishna, this one aspect, the Brahman aspect. So for them, what use is knowledge, study, scriptures, debating, anything else? They're already realizing that wonderful sweetness of Krishna. He's revealing, He's manifesting Himself, His presence to them. And it's so nice and overwhelming that they're completely satisfied. They knew Vaikuntha was over there, but they weren't, why go? We're completely full in ourselves. We have love for Krishna. Oh, they decided to go one day to have a look. They knew He was, but everything is the same. It's the same, they go to Vaikuntha, they stay where they were with, wherever they were with Brahma or someone. It's the same to them, but anyway, they decided to go for a picnic or something. Let's go and see Lord Narayan. We know He's the Lord of everything, but the mood, the feeling is the same wherever we go and whatever, because we're feeling the presence and the love of the Lord, isn't it? But only when they went there, when they realized there's something more than that, that was His personal form and His attributes, that made them very much attractive. Beyond this feeling of being, this loving feeling of the Lord, that is His very own nature. God is love, even the advanced Krishna say that. So when you contact God, either as Brahman, Paramatma, you will realize that love, that loving nature. And because you are also Brahman, you are the same, you do have, it's also loving nature, your very self. So So the whole idea of bhakti is to engage these two individual loving natures, not just relish that mood of just being in that the presence of the Lord and the presence of yourself. So the this is the glory of self-realization, Brahma-bhuta-pasana, Atmaramas Chamunayo, the self-realized person. But, it's unlimited, that glory of that. But the conclusion is that from the point of view of bhakti, not much at all. In fact, practically, there's no bhakti in this understanding. Because although the loving nature is felt in this process by understanding it, the attraction and the affection is for the feeling. That feeling is so nice. Nothing else to be achieved, Krishna says, when you realize yourself, when you feel yourself. You feel there's nothing else to be achieved. So it's so nice, that feeling. But the attraction here is to the feeling. This is the difference. They're attracted to that loving feeling. So it's not Krishna's form, it's not Krishna's pastimes, it's not Krishna's descent of his lotus feet or anything like that. It's just to the feeling is the attraction. So, more or less, it's impersonal. But it's a very exalted position. From down looking up, it's very exalted. But from up looking down, it's not very, it's no bhakti practically. Mahaprabhu said there's no bhakti even there. So hardly you consider that. When Uddhava went to speak to the gopis and he said, I've got a letter and you know, you should meditate on, he gave us an instruction. You should meditate on Krishna because he's, you know, he's all pervading, he's everywhere, you'll be able to see him and everything. And then you can close your eyes and you can meditate him on your heart. They wrote to Krishna, why are you treating us like ordinary women? Ordinary yogis. What do you think we are? We're not ordinary yogis. Why are you writing letters to think about you in teaching us jnana and yoga and meditation? We're accustomed to love you from the very beginning of our lives, Krishna. And you're treating us like ordinary common yogis? This is not proper for you to do this. So from the point of view, from the devotional point, bhakti point of view, then it is impersonal. They're rejecting it practically. Because it's not connected with Krishna's form and Krishna's and relationship with Krishna. So practically there's no bhakti there. But it's beautiful to have that feeling. Even the Krishnas have attained the stage of beatitude, and well, they have many different names for it. The Holy Ghost descended upon him. But they're in bliss, but it's just the bliss of being, the bliss of feeling Krishna. So then they have further to go. And that's devotional. So Krishna consciousness begins at this point. But immediately you engage in service to Krishna. So therefore, Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada said, is the topmost yoga system. Otherwise, the yoga system that's been described here, and the Hatha yoga system, etc., all those asana, pranayama, niyama, all the different stages of mystic yoga, finally you come to samadhi, Prabhupada said. You meditate upon the form of Vishnu, four-handed form of Narayana in the heart. That is the final stage, and Prabhupada's saying again and again here, for the yoga system, that is the final stage. It's the personal form of the Lord, you meditate. Prabhupada also goes on to say, in another place, that yes, they have this eightfold, this yoga system, and the perfection is samadhi. He said, but there's another level above that samadhi. And Prabhupada said, that's preaching. Preaching is above samadhi. It's because in samadhi you're absorbed in that bliss ananda. In preaching, you're giving it to others. He says, so this is the topmost yoga system, because you're not simply interested in attaining that perfection for yourself, but you're giving to others. So this is actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. It's a mission of giving to others. So here, Prabhupada gave us the topmost thing. Krishna consciousness. He didn't settle for less. And he made us know it. He didn't want us to settle for less either. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Nithai Go Premanandi. I was going to say something about Shyamananda, but it went on a bit too long. Anyway, any comment or question? Of Shyamananda. Okay, I'll tell you the pastime of his most famous pastime. When he was in Nidavana, I think. Anyway, where the Rasleela used to go, and he had a service for sweeping the pathways, keeping it clean. He was helping maintain the... He was studying under Rupa Goswami. He was at... Shyamananda Prabhu was a disciple of Hidai Chaitanya, who was a disciple of Subal Shaka, one of Krishna's... Gauridas Pandit, who in Krishna Lili was Subal Shaka. So he was a servant of the servant of Subal Shaka. And his mother and father were great devotees, but every child they had, it was a stillborn. So then they prayed to the Lord, "Next, if we have another child, we'll give him to you, he'll be yours. Please save him." So then that child was born, and but he lived, this one lived. They called him Dukhi. Dukhi means unhappy. They thought, we give him this name Dukhi, because then when Dukhi comes, unhappiness is coming to people who are happy. So he's already unhappy, so unhappiness won't come anymore to him. And then he won't kill him, then we'll have a son. So they called him Dukhi. Dukhi Krishna. So anyway, then he was initiated by Hidai Chaitanya, then he was sent to Vrindavan to study under Jiva Goswami. So he was studying with him, and he had the service of clean sweeping the areas where Radha and Krishna performed their rasa pastimes. And he used to take the weeds up with that Narayani, you know, the little tool they used for cutting weeds, like a little metal thing. And he found an ankle bell. His Narayani touched an ankle bell. It was lying in the grass, and then his Narayani turned into gold. It was a piece of iron, but it became gold. And he said, "This is the Chintamani." And it was an ankle bell. So he knew it was very special, because it was something Chintamani. So later on, one little girl came there, and she said, "Then, when you were cleaning up, did you find anything? My sister lost her ankle bell." "Oh yeah, I've got that." "So can you give it to me? I'll give it to my sister." "No, no, I can only give it to your sister if she comes here." "As though she can't come here. Now you please give it to me." "No, no, sorry. Only if she comes to her, I will give." And, because she understood these must be very transcendental personalities. Then later on she came back with her sister, so-called sister. So actually it was Srimati Radharani, and her friend was Lalita, her sister was so-called sister. So, then she gave him a blessing for giving the ankle bell back, and she held it like that and put it on his forehead. And it left a mark there, a tilak, which is Shyamananda. You see, there's a tilak they're wearing now that everybody has. And he told Jiva, and Jiva accepted that. He said, "Already I have information that it is a fact." So then he gave him, after that, Jiva Goswami gave him the name of Shyamananda. It was a common thing, he would give people different names when they were studying in his school, and he gave Kaviraj's title and etc. And then his guru, Gauridas Pandit, who was living in Ambika Colony here in Bengal, he Hirdai Chaitanya. He came to find out, someone said, I went to Vrindavan, I saw your disciples. He's studying under Jiva Goswami, but Jiva Goswami's given him a new name, and he's studying the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in conjugal mood. And your Guru Maharaj is in Shakaras, and because he is Shubhal Shakar. So he's Gauridas Pandit. He's in intimate friendship of Shakara, so he was just a great devotee of Gaur-Nithai. They had such an intimate relationship, friendship. And his disciple, Hirdai Chaitanya, was also following in the footsteps, and he was a great devotee of Gaur-Nithai. So when he heard that his disciple is now being influenced by Jiva Goswami, and he's following in the Madhurya line, he's not following in the Shakara line. So he went off to Vrindavan to see Jiva Goswami, and he wanted to know why you have changed my disciple's name and you've given him a new line of thought that I didn't give. Or previously he had written to Jiva Goswami and he said that he told my disciple he should see you as an expansion of myself. But when he heard this news that he was changing, he said, but this is not Vaishnava etiquette, you're changing the attitude I've given him and the name. So Jiva Goswami understood everything. He said, anyway, you can ask your disciple. And he said, what is this tilak he is wearing? This is completely a speculation. He said, we are not wearing this kind of tilak, the new tilak. And so Shyamananda, he said, you know, Guru Maharaj, please don't be angry with me. But you know, it's kind of a transcendental thing. I had a transcendental dream and this thing happened. He said, and I'm supposed to base everything on your dream. You have a dream, and so now you can think you're an associate of Radharani and you can run around with a new thing just because of a dream. So he said, let me rub it, I'll scrub it off. And when you make it come back again, then I'll never leave you. So he scrubbed his tilak off. So, Shyamananda had been given the mantra by Lalita. She said, if you need anything, you can chant this mantra, I'll be there. So he went into meditation, chanting his mantra. And so she said, okay. Yeah, everything will be okay. So then as he was sitting there in the presence of all the Vaishnavas, then this tea, like again, it just manifests on his forehead again. So then the guru was very happy. Okay, it's not a dream, it's a factual thing. So he became very happy to see his disciples, so everything was nicely going on. So then his disciple would, I take you on Pikram of Vrindavan. So he took him on Pikram of Vrindavan. And they went to see one other great Vaishnava, and he was speaking Krishna Katha and he was speaking some pastimes of Radharani and Krishna and things like that. And simply on hearing these, and Shyamananda, he just burst into tears and he was weeping and crying and everything like that. And his guru was astonished to see him like this. He said, what is this? Why are you like this? He said, simply hearing these pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their association, you're crying like this? Why have you changed your mind like this? He said, I've changed you in a different way. He became very angry and he picked up his stick and he started to beat him. He said, my Guru Maharaj, Shubhal Shaka, he's initiating me in this mind and I've given you the same understanding. He said, these are friends of Krishna. They play with Krishna. They put Krishna on their shoulders. They're fighting with Krishna. And you're going after something else? You're pursuing another path? What is this? You're getting less than what I'm giving you. That's why I'm beating him. He was beating him. And Shyamananda was humbly trying to take all that beating. Finally, he stopped. The Vaishnavas have to stop him because he was giving heavy beating. Mark his back. Everything. And Shyamananda Prabhu, in his humility, said, Guru Maharaj, he said, I know that the reason you're beating me is out of your love for me because you want me to have something more. He said, because of your relationship with Krishna in Shakaras, you know there's nothing greater than this. Nothing can exist greater than this. And you think I'm taking something less. So therefore you are beating me. So this is proper for you to do. Because of your, out of love for me, you are doing this. You are beating me like this. So anyway, he was still angry about the whole affair. It was going, the guru was angry. That night he had a dream. His Hidayat Chaitanya had a dream. Lord Chaitanya came to him. And he said, why did you do that to me yesterday? He said, what did I do? Lord Chaitanya turned around, he took off his chadar, and he showed all these whip marks on his back. He said, I'm practically Shyamananda, he's no different than me, Shyamananda. He said, and what he is doing is, he was given the mercy of Srimati Radharani herself and Lalita Devi herself. He said, he is so dear to me, this person, that I'm taking these beatings from him. So of course next morning, it was a great reunion. He embraced his disciples and said, yes, you stay here, you continue doing what you're doing. Which Eva. So that was their samadhi. But then, the conclusion, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, now you have to go beyond your samadhi. You've been serving in Vrindavan. Now go and preach. So then he sent them out, Narottam and Shyamananda and Srinivas, go out and preach. So this is the samadhi of, beyond the samadhi of absorption in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Go out and preach. This is Krishna consciousness movement. Jaya Sri Shyamananda Prabhu ki. Jaya Gopi Amanandi. Today is the disappearance. Hare Krishna.